Welcome back to another episode of Journey to Midwifery. This week I have on Christine Struthers, who's a certified professional midwife in North Carolina. So I hope you enjoy. Here we go. Welcome to the Journey to Midwifery podcast. This is a podcast for and about midwives. This is the place where midwives come to share their stories. I am your host, Amber Wilson, a midwife myself. I felt called to this journey of sharing the stories of midwives around the globe, and I hope that you will find as much joy listening as I do interviewing. Remember the quote, "Life is about the journey, not the destination." Okay, welcome to another interview episode of Journey to Midwifery, and I'm happy to have on Christine. So say hi, Christine, and do a little intro.
Hi, my name's Christine. I'm a CPM in North Carolina, which is a whole topic in itself for, a podcast, but that's who I am, and I'm excited to be on. I've been wanting to talk to Amber for a long time, so here we are. It's great.
Nice. Thank you. And I'm excited to add to my North Carolina midwife rapport. So many of you on. So, yeah. Well, as I always say, let's go all the way to the beginning of what brought you into midwifery. What called you to this field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a long journey. I think probably most midwives say it's a long journey because it is, but I think I kind of have an unusual route. I kind of did things in the opposite direction of a lot of CPMs because I started out as a nurse, actually. I was in nursing school and I was working actually at a large hospital as a inpatient pharmacy tech while I was putting myself through nursing school. And one of the other girls that worked there had several babies and, was kind of in the birth world. And she let me borrow two books that just blew my mind. They're old school books, right? Birth Reborn by Michelle O'Donnell and Birth Without Violence, the rare book. So I was like, what is this? Yeah, I didn't have any kids at the time. I wasn't married. I was just a young, nursing student. And really kind of set me on the track to going into midwifery and really piqued my interest in birth in general. So, and then it kind of got interesting because after I finished a nursing school, I went to Francis Payne Bolton, which is at the time, and I think still is the master's program for Frontier. So, I was real familiar with that because I lived in Cleveland and was in that. I went through that and got my BSN and then got married and moved to North Carolina and had a bunch of babies. And nursing was great for that, for that time in your life, right? You go put in your 12 hours and you're done. But I was still intending to go on and get my master's. I'd already done some master's classes. But then I started talking to a lot of the CNMs that were working because I was working at a maternity center. And they were like, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe you just want to be a doula or, just do something that you'll have a life. And like three CNMs were like, oh, you can do it, but you'll have to get a divorce. And I was like, okay, I'm probably not going to do that then. And it really kept me honestly in nursing for a long time. I worked L&D for like 10 years. During that time, I kind of branched out a little bit. Like I did doula training and worked as a doula and childbirth educator and also lactation consultant. So I kind of got to get all those out of hospital things that I was really interested in, but didn't want to get a divorce. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just do all those things. And then I really took kind of another turn. A friend asked me to attend her home birth. She was having a VBAC and she wanted me to be there. And interestingly, I think her husband wanted me there because I was a nurse. I think he wasn't super comfortable with the whole thing. And he thought like somehow that's going to make it like safe. But that was, again, one of those mind-blowing experiences. And it was not an easy birth. It was very long. And, but I just, the whole time I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, like, wow, it just really spoke to me. Something was like, what is it about this? Like, this is not easy. This is one of the hardest births I've ever, you know, assisted with. It's been really a challenge, you know, to be an assistant and, you know, to be a doula for her. And then I just realized it's because she's at home and she's the boss. And that really, really spoke to me. And like, I remember, she'd probably laugh if she heard me tell the story, but I remember her sitting on the toilet, eating a bowl of soup. And I was like, this is it. This is the epitome of home birth. This is what I got to do. And which was, I'm sure everyone thinks I'm crazy that was what did it for me. But I was like, that's it. That's what I have to do. And so I just looked into what it would look like in this area to be a midwife and do home births. And it real quickly became obvious that I was not going to go the CNM route. There was no place for that in Charlotte area. You know, so I kind of was like, okay, well, that's okay, because I'm really looking at practice setting more than I was credential, you know? So I was like, it's not wasting my nursing background. It really wasn't. I mean, there are a lot of things that have just really paid off for me coming from that direction, you know? So I looked at opportunities to work in South Carolina, just over the border, which is like, it takes like 20 minutes to get to South Carolina from my house. So that it was very reasonable. And there are still a number of North Carolina midwives who practice in South Carolina because they have licensing. So that seemed real acceptable for me with my situation with little kids and so forth. So I did ancient art midwifery, and I finished that and got licensed and got my CPM in 2009. So I've been practicing a long time. So I practiced for about 7 years in South Carolina as a licensed midwife and had a birth center there during that time, and did lots and lots and lots of births. And of course, because we were right on the border, just over the border in South Carolina, most of our clients were actually from North Carolina, about 3/4 of them. So when we closed the birth center, it was just very natural on many levels to transition into North Carolina, even though there wasn't licensing and I was gonna be, you know, shifting gears with that politically. And you know, gave up my South Carolina license pretty vocally, gave them a lot of feedback they didn't appreciate. But working in North Carolina is really where I need to be, and really working to promote midwifery in our state. There's, you know, it's a big state and there are a lot of needs for home birth moms. In this state, it's really kind of amazing to me that we still don't have licensure. And
yeah,
you know, it's really amazing. And midwives are still getting arrested and still getting, you know, prosecuted for practicing something they can do in most other states. It's really hard. And there's a lot of misinformation too, coming from the medical community, you know, telling people it's illegal for you to have a home birth and stuff like that. And wow, it's super backwards. There's a lot of work to do here. But
does that ever scare you or concern you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And, it, you know, kind of not as much as it did in the past, which is weird because I feel like I'm really deep into it now. But it was very different and very scary, and still is, to particularly for transport situations, right? Because you have to have a whole discussion with the family about, okay, if you need to go in or the baby needs to go in, here's our story, right? And it, you know, in some situations you can go in and it's very obvious that you're the midwife and you know the things and you want to share that, but you just don't know what that situation is going to look like. And the North Carolina Board of Nursing has kind of been charged with, you know, coming after home birth midwives in the state. So the Board of Nursing will send you a strongly worded letter and investigate you, and you have to hire an attorney to deal with that. It's really amazing.
It's shameful.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And, you know, what a commitment North Carolina midwives have to be able to function in that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah. Now, I know, I mean, CNMs obviously have different licensure, mm-hmm. but they do home births in North Carolina. I've met them.
Yes. So
how do they, well, yes, some, how, I mean, do they get backlash the same as bad as CPMs? What do you think?
Yeah, it's not as bad. However, they still have a lot of restrictions on their licenses in our state, and they have to have physician supervision. And so there are a lot of pressures that come from that, both on the CNMs and on the docs that work with them. And some of them are like, listen, my malpractice says no more. And all the CNMs are done. They can't practice, right? And it's really tricky. And we keep working on it, but it's really tough. It's surprisingly, shockingly difficult.
Yeah. In our state. And you know, I was in Virginia for a long time. I'm hoping that what they're doing there and that they've done is going to trickle down, because you're right next door. I don't understand.
I don't either.
I mean, it was restrictive for a long time there too, but just, I feel like they've moved mountains, and yeah, your neighbor should pick up on that. Right.
Right. Right. So, you know, and really, I feel like that is an important step as we're again, working on licensure, you know, every session that we can, we're proposing bills and so forth, but hopefully maybe, you know, there's a way to get some of these other states to help, at least to give us some great ideas. And I know that there are people that are working on that to try to get some support from other states, but wow, it's a tough, tough process.
Yeah. So I did want to ask about your school. I hadn't heard of that one. Is that like a formal, are you doing the portfolio using that?
The program? Yes. Right. Right. So, that's the program I did when I was training and getting my CPM. So at the time, it, and again, things were probably less organized, I don't want to say organized, but less uniform throughout the state. So at the time, because I knew I was going to get a South Carolina license, that was one of the programs that I didn't have to do all the PEP paperwork. Okay. I just had to do what South Carolina required, which, you know, they had their own laws and, you know, regulations at that point, which has changed. And now it's just standard CPM. But so that was what I did, was I did that as for the didactic portion. And then I apprenticed with a licensed midwife in South Carolina.
So as a CPM in North Carolina, I mean, I don't mean this, I mean this kind of sarcastically, but does it matter since there's,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Does it do you any good?
Right. Could it be anybody? Like, I mean, that would be a safety concern, but I would assume, but.
Sure, but you're right. There's, and that's honestly, that's kind of a good selling point for licensure, right? Is, hey, you know, this is people want home births in every state. That's just the way the world is. And don't you want people that you know are trained and certified doing the work? You're right, because there are some, you know, midwives that are practicing that are not CPMs because, again, why?
Right.
Why bother?
Yeah.
Right. Right. But, you know, we definitely are encouraging it because of the potential to quickly step into licensure if we are, you know, and that's one of the things that we talk about is, hey, there's this many CPMs here ready to practice, ready to, you know, take on a full caseload. And, you know, I think hopefully that helps, right? To kind of know, yes, we already have practice guidelines. We already have a system in place for education. So, hopefully that will help.
And that's a good answer.
It is. And I really, you know, because I'm, so now I'm teaching a lot for ancient art. I have a, I do their skills labs. So they do, you know, all the hands-on stuff, training for students. And then I also have a community birth school. So I use their curriculum, but do in-person classes, which is, I think, really unique. There's nothing in the Southeast like that outside of Florida. So that's been really great. So we have class every week. We get together and I do, of course, a lot of skills stuff, but also just, you know, discussions and brainstorming and, you know, how do you make a workbook for your clients? You know, how do you do all these things? And it's been really successful. You know, I'm really happy with sort of the midwives that I've graduated and how they're practicing. I'm really proud of them.
So do they take that and then go on and get their clinical
hours or whatever? Some of them, yeah, some of them are like, do all the classes, then apprentice. And some are doing it at the same time,
okay,
a combination. So it really is kind of its own part. And then you have the apprenticeship part for the for PrEP.
Because the whole point is basically getting them ready to be competent for boards and their exam. Okay.
Right.
And know what they're doing. Practice safely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want them to come out. And I felt that way when I did the program, is I felt really competent and prepared to practice independently. So that's what I really wanted for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
How long is the course duration?
Right. Yes. It's set up to be 24 months. Some people it's taking longer, you know, they kind of have to come back around, but that's a pretty quick way to go through it, but it seems to work well too. It kind of keeps everybody focused, because I feel like that's always the challenge with the distance program, is life, right? Gets in the way if you don't have those scheduled assignments and that sort of thing. So I think it's helped to have a shorter duration.
Right? And a goal, like a timeline goal.
Right, because, you know, I was joking with someone the other day, like, it seems like every student is on the 2-year plan or the 10-year plan. So why not be on the 2-year plan?
Right.
And try to get it done, put in the work and then go practice.
Yeah. So. I do want to back up and ask you why you closed your birth center.
You know, a lot of it, some of it was financial, but a lot of it was that the way the regulations were was very, in South Carolina, were very nebulous. And so they could kind of say whatever they wanted and make any demands that they wanted. And the regulators were under a lot of pressure from the hospital systems there to really kind of crack down on birth centers. And there were numerous birth centers that closed at that time, because they said, oh, wait, we think this regulation means this. And that just was impossible for us to do. You know, like, you need to have a physician who can come on site at any time. And no one's signing up for that.
Yeah.
You know, and all kinds of other kind of related things like that seem like, oh, but that's not a terrible idea, that just were not, that just didn't work. And we just got to the point where it was just too it was just too much to do that. And it was super, super stressful. You know, that was a time when, you know, each of us individually as midwives were taking 8, 10, 12 clients a month.
Wow.
So we were doing just insane amounts of work. In addition to just the running of the birth center and all that things, but we were just really doing a lot of births. And I felt one of the busiest times I remember we had 11 births in 5 days, and I was at 9 of them. And I thought that I might die. I really did. I was so exhausted. I was hallucinating. I was not practicing well. And so that it was kind of like, okay, we need to do something different. And it's hard to financially have a birth center unless you're doing those kind of numbers.
Yeah. Right?
You know,
so. Are you happy you're doing just out of hospital?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really am. And, you know, there were things that I loved about having a birth center. There were just some amazing things about it. I loved having a facility that people could come to, people could come for classes, we could host, you know, educational things for other birth workers, you know, yoga class, and just having other midwives around all the time was great to bounce things off of. Like, you know, many times it'd be like, can you come feel this person's belly? Cause I can't figure it out, you know? And that was wonderful, but there were also a lot of stresses with that became just unmanageable, really.
How many midwives were at that birth center?
There were 6.
So you had 6 midwives taking like 10 births a month?
Yeah.
How did they fit in? How did all those women fit in a birth center?
We had a lot of birth rooms. It was big. It was a big facility. Yeah. We had 5 birth rooms.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then a bunch of prenatal room, you know, exam rooms and stuff. And, yeah, it was big and beautiful, and you know,
you were having more babies than some hospitals have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Really,
and they didn't appreciate that. Let me tell you.
No, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, once you get that big, you're competition, and they really crack down.
Yeah, I bet that was a big devastation to the community.
It really was, because it had been such a resource. There wasn't anything like it around for, you know, at least an hour, you know, driving. Mm-hmm. So
what is your load like now?
Now so much easier, so much nicer. I've really limited to 2 or 3 moms to a month. Mm-hmm. Much more manageable. And too, I feel like I can really give them good care.
And your children still know who you are.
They do.
Now.
They do. And which is great. But you know, they did miss that whole window of time when I just wasn't around much.
Yeah. How long was that? How many years did you do that?
The birth center, 7.
Oh yeah. The big chunk of time.
Mm-hmm. It was a big chunk of time. So yeah. Yeah. You know, but it was great. And I did learn a lot. That being said, I'm not going to open another birth center.
Don't blame you.
Definitely not.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
How old are they now? Your kids?
My kids, they're
their ranges.
Grown up kids now. Mm. 20. My youngest is 20. No, she's 22. Okay. And my oldest is 27.
Okay.
They're all grown-ups now.
Do they have any thoughts on that time? I always like to hear, like, what did the kids think when mom was gone? And
you know, I think they were really, proud, and they liked it, you know, they liked it, but they also really missed me and saw that it was stressful and everything. And I would, you know, they would come there a lot. Like especially my daughters would come and, you know, volunteer and do paperwork and be like sibling doulas and stuff like that. So I tried to get them involved in it, but, you know, they saw how difficult it was too, for sure.
Okay, so technical questions, yes, things about income and blah blah blah. Well, I was thinking, gosh, you went from RN to CPM. How was that income adjustment? And then going from big booming birth center to now, those are the two like monumental.
Yeah.
How was that on your family?
You know, it was tough, right? Especially having a successful birth center where, you know, we were doing a lot of births. That was a big decrease in income when I switched to just doing home births. But I also still had a big client base, you know, because of all the people that had previously had babies at the birth center. So it wasn't as big of a stress as you would think, right?
And you don't have the overhead of the birth center.
No. I mean, you see where I'm working?
Right.
Used to be a bedroom. So. Yeah. That makes it a little easier.
Right. How about when you went from nurse to how was that transition?
That was tricky, right? Because I was used to a very stable income and stable hours. Right. And then translate that into being an apprentice, which was no money. And having to fork out money for school and transportation and everything. So we did have to kind of cut back on some things. And it's still a joke in our family that one of my daughters was really mad because I told her she had to stop taking Celtic harp lessons because I was going to midwifery school. we still all tease her about that because she was like, oh, but I love the Celtic harp. I was like, well, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We did kind of adjust and that was okay. And it helped a lot. I think that I could still keep doing doula work and so forth when I was in midwifery school. I had that flexibility. So but it didn't compensate at all. Yeah.
Yeah. How has being a registered nurse helped you in your out of hospital work? Especially in the Carolinas.
Right. You know, it has really been a great way for me to be able to teach skills, you know, because all of those skills that I learned, you still need those, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I am really skills focused when I do trainings, and I really expect a lot of apprentices and students with that. And I've tried to translate that into educational workshops and so forth. So teaching IV starts and management of things like shoulder distortion and hemorrhage and all that. I feel like I can come from that background and really use those skills for good, you know. got good at some of those things, right?
Yeah,
working in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And you can say like, hey, this really happens, even if it's, you don't see it in home birth or very rarely.
Right. And, you know, and two, to kind of say, hey, listen, these are skills I know you never want to use. Like, I know you never want to use this, but if you had this skill, you could maybe really, really help your client in incredible ways. And not just save their life, which you could do, but also keep them at home, right? I mean, transporting someone for an IV is terrible. It's the worst.
Yeah, I was just thinking like a fluid bolus could potentially keep you from.
Definitely. So, you know, I kind of try to instill that in people. And though I do think sometimes people are like, well, did you really have to change your mindset from nursing to home birth? And no, like I was already there.
That's a good question though.
Yeah. I think people are like, well, did you have to unlearn how to treat people? And I'm sure there are people that did, but I guess I was already in that mindset anyway. Like I was already, you know, taking care of all the Bradley moms or whatever, right? Like I already wanted to do that. I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm in the OR all day today. You know, that was not going to be me anyway.
Yeah. And it's the same for CNMs. It's just, you don't often see an RN to see PM, but so many are in that mindset of like, I don't like what I'm seeing and I want to care for women in this way. And so you were long already there. That's why you did this.
Yeah, right.
So that makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was. It was like, that was the sign that I should go out of the hospital more than it was like something I had to adjust to.
Right. Yeah. Cause then really you probably wouldn't be here if you really needed to adjust that much. That's what I, right.
You maybe couldn't make that. Not everybody can make that transition. Right. To home from you know, hospital nurse is
not, and not good. Only that too, but like the schedule really like so many CPMs, this is what they've done for years and years. They but you had the life of schedule and then had the life of no schedule. That's no really schedule. Tough. I think that would be the toughest transition.
Yeah, it is. And I do talk to students about that a lot. And that's something that I'm also trying to work on with people that are already practicing is, you know, maybe the reason that we're so burnt out and so many people just leave midwifery is because we make this lifestyle, you can't maintain it. It doesn't work long-term if you want to do one other thing in your life besides being a midwife, you know? And a little bit of that, I think, is, I don't know, like a trust issue. Like, do you trust other midwives enough to let yourself be off call? Right. I just feel like I've run into that a lot is, yeah, but I have this solo practice and all my patients really want me. And there's maybe some ego in there too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the best one. And, you know, they would never be happy with anyone but me. And it's interesting because it's just not true, right? Yeah. And if you've ever heard Madeline Murray, have you heard any of her?
She's been on.
About sustainable, she's been on. Yeah. You know, just talk about like, you know what? It's not you. Get over it. It's midwifery care.
Right.
And that I'm just, you know, I feel like that's the way to really not just like sustain midwifery, but to grow midwifery because, you know, there's lots of people like I was that are like, I want to see my kids. I want to stay married or in a relationship. I want to have life. Like I like to do other things besides catch babies and that's okay. And you know, it's interesting how much pushback you get when you say that, right? You know, you'll see people post on like on Facebook boards or whatever, you know, Instagram, or whatever, and be like, I'm a midwifery student and I'm dying. This on-call thing all the time. It's crushing my soul. And, you know, some of these older midwives are like, that's just the life. Maybe you just can't hack it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Maybe let's look at this from a different perspective.
Right.
Maybe, right. Like maybe let's see what, you know, what is workable for people. Right. And say like, you know what, could you do midwifery part-time? Yes, I think you could, you know, I think you could do it in a way that would still really serve more women and keep you from being a crazy person.
And I would really be concerned if that narrative is continued. I feel like in talking to all of you that it's not being continued, but that you won't have the midwifery force that we need to continue to grow. So you have to say, you know, instead of saying that's the life, saying what can we do different?
And
I mean, I do. I feel like in talking to all of you that is what's being really, that's the narrative that's changing. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, I really hope so. I really hope it's changing. And I hope too, that that, you know, and again, not to, you know, diss on anybody that's been mm-hmm. a midwife for a long time. I've been a midwife for a really long time, but to be like, you know what, also take apprentices, train some folks up, mm-hmm. you know, and not look at them so many times. Oh, I just cringe because people are like, well, I don't want to train my competition. Really? That's how you're looking at this? Like, look at the big picture, you know, look at midwifery serving women, right? And not your own personal corner of, you know, like, these are my clients.
But that's just as bad as places that don't even have midwifery care because they don't want the competition. It's the same words.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's frustrating. And I just feel like it's just keep working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I keep talking to people. I keep talking to midwives about that. Like, let's just shift the mentality a little bit. And I just started a course I piloted earlier, at the end of last year for preceptors and apprentices to take together, mm-hmm. As a way to just try to work all this stuff out. And, I'm really excited about that. Like it's something I'm really pumped about. And it's special to me to really see people grow into being a midwife. Right. And I realizing too, like, people come from all different, scenarios, right? And are great midwives because of it. And they bring something new, right? You know, like, I have my nursing background and that's something I bring, but, you know, other people come from other places and other things and they bring that and it's all good, mm-hmm. right? It's not like, I think some people feel like, well, you have to be, you know, you have to have a bunch of home births and you have to raise chickens and then you can go to midwifery school, right? And be a home birth midwife. And it's like, we just gotta make room for all of these people that mm-hmm. just want to serve. They really do. And so that's kind of my project.
And right maybe now. Lean on the others that have those strengths that you don't have, like chickens or herbal medicine or whatever.
Right. Yeah. To just help each other and really mm-hmm. be there and have a, you know, a community of midwives, I think is mm-hmm. So important because it's especially, you know, home birth midwifery, it's lonely mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. You know, you're with people all the time because you're always with your clients and they're always calling you and you know all about everything about them. But as a profession, it's lonely because you're, you know, not around people all the time that are like you. You're not around midwives all the time, but you really need that. And that's just something that I just really want to grow is midwives helping other midwives and helping more people become midwives and, you know, just really get to that tipping point where lots of people have home births. This is great. There's lots of home birth midwives. Yeah. You know, I would love that.
Do you all have anything in your community with, especially in North Carolina, that gets you together or collaborates or anything like that?
Yeah, actually we do. And I'm glad you asked about that. When we were closing the birth center, one of the midwives there, her name's Lori Gibson. She's a South Carolina midwife and she still practices in South Carolina. We really wanted to take, you know, the trainings and workshops and stuff that we had been doing for birth workers at the birth center and just translate that into a whole nother system. So we started a group called Carolina Birth Junkies. And we started with just doing a retreat because Lord knows midwives need a retreat. Mm-hmm. And so we really started with that and, you know, added in some educational sessions. And this is going to be our 7th conference.
Wow.
And we do that. It's actually going to be 5 days this year. And we also do monthly workshops and they all have CEUs and they're all great. And we also, you know, get together and we do peer review and we just do fun things. We go and buy herbs and plant them, you know, but it's just, it's a regular way for people that do lonely work to get together and to just talk about what's happening and what are their challenges, right? And it's been super successful. And I know that we'll just always keep doing Brew Chunkies. It's, mm-hmm. it's been such a great thing. I really love it.
Is it in one place or does it?
No, we just go all over. We have different people host. And you know, it's interesting because we've kind of brought in all kinds of related people. So it's not just midwives and students, it's, you know, doulas and childbirth educators and chiropractors mm-hmm. and herbalists and everyone that kind of does anything with pregnancy and birth and breastfeeding and postpartum stuff. So we kind of go all over and do all kinds of things and bring people in from out of town to do workshops and everything. So it's a labor of love.
How long are those monthly? Are they like a day or 2 days? How
yeah,
long?
Usually they're a day, half a day to a full day, depending on, you know, what the topic is. But it's really good stuff. And I think it's also a good way for people to get together and kind of meet mm-hmm. and also to meet students and other people that can help each other mm-hmm. with their practices. So it's been a great thing.
Do you find that CPMs and CNMs attend?
Yes, depending on what it is, mm-hmm. right? And also we try to help each other that way in as far as, hey, you know, let's ask this CNM to come talk with us about this because this isn't really something we do, but, and we can kind of go to her place and talk about something that we do a lot of, right? So that it definitely has strengthened that community too, which is really been good for North Carolina. We need that. And more than ever, we are, you know, communicating between the CNMs and the CPMs and working together. We have a lot of common goals, honestly. And that's how I met Belinda Lachey, is through NC Mira and NCMA as well. So to just have that unity with the North Carolina midwives, because we're all on the same, mm-hmm. we're all on the same playing field, you know?
How do people find information on it?
On Birth Chunkies?
Yeah.
We have a webpage, CarolinaBirthChunkies.com.
Okay.
And we also have a very active Facebook presence. So yeah, we do that. And, you know, all the events are listed on there and you can register. That's really try to be very straightforward, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyone can come and it's great.
So I did, when we were talking about work-life balance, I wanted to ask how you currently maintain that balance. I assume maybe wrongly, are you still married?
I am. Okay. I've been married. Yeah. Same guy for a long time.
So you made it through.
We made it.
Yes.
We made it through. And, you know, having listened to different, versions of this, your podcast, to hear people's, you know, talk and their struggles about their personal life is, it really is an important part of kind of learning about the journey, right? And, you know, I was just really, it was really important to have that support for me. And I really, you know, I really waited and to pursue midwifery until I was sure that my family was not going to suffer. Mm-hmm. That was just, and that was important to me. And I don't feel like bad or embarrassed to say that, like it had to work. And there were times, you know, where things were difficult at home and, you know, something was going on with one of my kids or something. And I felt really good about being like, you know what? I think I'm not going to be able to do any births this week. Mm-hmm. This is something I must take care of. This has priority over everything else, you know? But then there were always, right? How many birthday parties have I missed? My God, Thanksgiving. Why does everyone have a baby on Thanksgiving? I swear. I've not had been to a real Thanksgiving dinner in 20 years. I don't know what it is about.
Maybe you should schedule your Thanksgiving the day after and see if life lines up.
Something. I know. Like, who has baby on a Thursday anyway? You know?
How rude.
It's really rude. But yeah, so it's been, you know, just prioritizing and kind of, and also, you know, having the support within my family, but also with other midwives too, and to give them that grace too. Like if they're struggling with something with their family, to be able to be like, I got you. It's fine. Like I can help you. Just let me know what you need. Right. And that's really how we get through.
Yeah. And teaching that to students, because they do have that, like, I must do all the things 24 hours a day. And you as the preceptor have to be like, no,
just
go home.
Yes.
You're done.
Exactly. Go home, take care of your kids, take a bath.
Yeah.
You know, just step away from this for a minute so that you can really come back.
Yeah. Because you can't, like, how I was thinking back when you were saying how people were like, well, you know, I'm the one and only midwife. I'm the one they want, but really you can't, are you really your best if you don't take any time for yourself or your family or whatever, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And you aren't. And I think it does show, and you can see who does a good job of setting boundaries, like we talked about, and saying, I do need to take care of myself right now, you know, what are your priorities and what's the payoff, right? If you are rested and you're taking care of yourself and you're taking your supplements and you are taking care of your family so that emotionally you're not a basket case, like that's going to be reflected in your care that you give too, right? Because you're not just going through the motions because you're the only one that can do this work. You know, there's lots of good midwives out there. And make some more. So you have more helpers.
Yeah.
You know?
How do you do it now for your, you said you take what, 2 to 3 a month?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you set it up to give yourself?
I first of all, turn a lot of people away and just be like, look, there's these nice young midwives that are happy to work with you, first time moms. Mm-hmm. But also, right, I have a really good system right now of, a group of midwives, most of them that have apprenticed with me or that I've trained through school, where we help each other out. And so like, I'm going on vacation. Can you cover these couple people that might need you? You know, if it's okay, I'm gonna give them your phone number and to tell people and to kind of make that, I think, something that to help the clients realize that they actually want that. They want a sane, well-rested midwife. They do. They want that more than they want you. Right. In fact, 2 weekends ago, my husband and I, we were supposed to go on a cruise, you know, COVID. That didn't work out. But so we decided just to go to the beach for a few days. And I turned off my phone and just walked on the beach every day, watched the dolphins and everything. And, you know, my good friend that I work with a lot, and my friend Elisa Self, she covered for me. And she was just like, go away. Don't call and check in. Just don't do it. And I got home and my blood pressure was the lowest it's been in probably 10 years. And I was like, oh, so that's all I have to do is just throw my phone in the ocean and live at the beach.
That's it.
And I'll be perfectly healthy and fine. And right?
That's the solution for all of us.
It's the solution for everyone.
Yeah.
So, right.
But at the very least, you reset your baseline and
yes.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really was great. And you know what? No one had a baby while I was gone, but also, you know, it makes you realize that that's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. So what if someone had a baby with another midwife that you love and trust. Like,
right.
That, what is wrong with that? Nothing. That's good for everybody.
You so know? Technical questions, would you just pay that midwife?
Yes.
Whatever portion. Okay.
Right, right. So we kind of have, as part of our system, we kind of are calling it the birth pool. Mm-hmm. That we, you know, we agree, okay, if you come and assist at a birth, just as like the second midwife, if that's a situation that is necessary, this is what you pay that person. If someone actually does a birth for you, this is what you pay them. If you do a prenatal, you know, appointment, or you do a postpartum visit, you know, this is what you are worth. And everyone happily agreed to that. And it's really working out great.
Yeah,
it really is.
How many midwives are in your little pool? Do you know?
Five.
Okay.
There's five midwives. And then we also have a bunch of assistants that have trained and are training. And there's probably more like 10 of them. You know, they're mainly students that, you know, want to get some births in and, you know, also need to learn the nuts and bolts part of assisting. So
do they rotate amongst all of you?
Okay. Yeah. So we have basically two on-call schedules. You know, apps are great. And so it's just self-scheduled. You schedule yourself for, hey, I can, you know, if you're a midwife, I can do a birth, I can do visits, I can come and suture, whatever, you know, whatever your calendars are. I know, it has been so great. And then, you know, and then we have this separate calendar that's for assistance. And people just come, you know, they put themselves on the calendar when they're available. And
and you just look it up and call whoever's
on call. Look it up and call, right? Like, hey,
nice.
I have someone in labor. Here's her address. Can you come?
Yeah, that's really cool. I had heard of it more like what Madeline teaches. And I interviewed a couple of midwives in California that kind of follow Madeline's model. So yours is different. I hadn't heard that. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, it works for us because it's maybe less structured than some of the models that I know Madeline talked about. But for home birth midwives, I think this is a good model because you only need to use it when you need it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you aren't interested right at this point of a full on-call schedule, you know, but you have help when you need it. You can take time when you need it. So it's a nice give and take. And I think it also helps that everyone who's involved is very much on board with, we don't all have to be working the same amount, right? It's work as you need it or can do it, right?
Right.
And I think that has been really helpful too, because some people are like, give me all the births this month, like I'm down. And some people are like, yeah, no, this is a good month for me to just not even really be on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Right. That it just sounds really balanced for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. Or the students, maybe they want to hurt, or the apprentice, they want to hurry.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
They want to go to Hawaii, take a break.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's opportunities to do that, right? You don't feel obligated to, oh gosh, yeah, I got to get my X many births in this month.
You don't have to. Or like you said earlier, feeling like I'm going to die as a student because I'm just going.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Just, you know, do what you can and what works for your life and your family. So I'm real pleased with it. It's going well. It's a good
model. The course you were talking about that you have, is this some of the information you talk about in it?
Yes, it is some of it. And it's also a lot about just kind of like how to be a good preceptor. What are the responsibilities of a preceptor and an apprentice? How do you make that relationship work? And even things like, how do you manage the PEP process?
Oh, that's good.
It's surprisingly challenging, and things like that. And then also, how do you transition into, you know, out of the apprentice phase and into practicing on your own? And is there a transition period where you're still working together and that sort of thing? So that's where those kind of models really come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Do you can you offer a free tip on how to be a good preceptor?
How to be a good preceptor. You know, I think it's all about and this is probably a cliche coming from a midwife, but it's to just have empathy for students and remember like what it was like to be an apprentice and how hard it was and how you just felt stupid all the time and mm-hmm. you didn't know how to do anything right. Like, just remember that and don't be like, you know how they always say like nurses eat their young. Well, I think midwives do that too. And to just break that mold and be like, no, you know what? I want to love on these apprentices and I want to just make them feel good and confident and just teach them all the things that I know and just like download your brain to them mm-hmm. and really share what you know and what you bring to the table. Like you said, everyone has their skills and their, you know, their knowledge, and to pass that on to people. Don't keep it to yourself.
Yep. They're not your competition, right?
No. Just think about, you know, abundance, right? Yep. Just have an abundance of midwives to just care for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be great to just have that shift to being like, oh, you're going to have a baby? You need a midwife,
mm-hmm.
you know? So.
And here's your choices. And
here's all your choices. Oh, yeah. Pick one that meshes with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And then maybe you don't feel such guilt as a midwife turning people away because you mm-hmm. know. There are others out there that are just, you're making changes, right? You're making waves.
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying hard.
Okay. What else? What else do you want to talk about? Your schooling some more.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. We talked a little bit.
Just we did a little, but not much.
We did a little bit. It's called Pure Birth Midwifery Studies.
Mm-hmm.
Where our in-person classes are in Charlotte, just weekly classes. They're really awesome, great group of girls and ladies. And then I'm also gonna start offering that same course as a virtual option starting in 2023.
Okay.
So I'll have two kind of courses going simultaneously. But
will the virtual group be attending with the real group?
Some of them will, because we're doing one of our like live classes is virtual
mm-hmm.
for in person. So that one really, you know, everyone can attend together, which is a great option too. Mm-hmm. And then of course it's always will be available for them to come and do in-person skills as well, which I think is an important component of any midwifery school.
And those are weekly, you said?
Uh-huh, those are weekly. Weekly
classes. For 2 years.
For 2 years.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm like, is there enough material? But I mean, there is.
There's so much material.
I know.
So much material. But
that must have been so much to build. And
yeah, it was good though, because I think it helped that I had been through the program mm-hmm. and I was familiar with the material and I kind of knew what things were great about it. And when things I was like, well, that was confusing that mm-hmm. way. And to, you know, just to be able to take that material and add in things that I had learned were important from practicing, and then to organize it. So it's organized into monthly, like topic specific modules, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
month we're doing prenatal basics, you know?
Right.
Instead of just like back in the day, you know, you got this giant 4-inch binder of your whole course assignments. And they were just like, here you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy. See,
that's overwhelming, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So to have it broken down into like manageable bites, I think has really helped.
Mm-hmm.
It's really helped a lot of people, you know, complete it, right? That were a lot of people in the school were coming from other programs. That they were like, hey, I've been signed up for this for 3 years and I've done almost nothing because it's just too overwhelming,
right.
You know? So this, I'm like, read these pages,
mm-hmm.
do this thing, turn this in now, right? And it just, it's accountability too, right?
Right, like you said, having a timeline and
yeah.
a goal, like I need to finish this by such and such date.
I do, or Christine's gonna give me that side eye that she right. does. When I come to class and I haven't done my work.
Because I'm that person too, that I had this binder, I'd be like, I need a set, you know, when is this due? When it, I'm not disciplined enough for that.
Yeah. And most people aren't.
Right.
Most people aren't, you know, so why not have someone that's, you know, already been through it, be like, no, here's really what you need to focus on this for this many days. And then, you know, do that. And two, I always tell my, if you don't finish all the assignments for this month, set it over here and move on so that you're with everyone else during class time.
Right. Now, do you teach these just you?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now I am.
So it's like your thing.
It is my thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's kind of another, that's another income earner for you because people pay you a tuition or whatever that is.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So I lease the curriculum materials from Ancient Art and then they have a instructor fee as well.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And then the rest is your income. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
What happens? You have a birth and there's class. Your midwife covers for you?
That just happened on Friday, but it was okay because it was one of the students from the class.
Oh.
So I just texted everyone. I was like, oh, she's having her baby. See you guys next week.
Yeah.
Happy thoughts, you know? So, you know, that's kind of something that we talk about up front is things come up, you know, and then we just adjust the schedule appropriately. Yeah. So, yeah.
What a fun and rewarding thing to do. Mm-hmm. It really is.
I really do love teaching. It is so rewarding. And I love, being a preceptor and having apprentices and just people that are learning and watching them grow and develop into like real midwives is wonderful.
How long have you been doing this?
5 years.
Okay.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. That's neat. I like it. And then when they're done, if they've done with their clinical things, they can go ahead and take their
board. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Or otherwise they continue whatever, however much they need, births, prenatal visits.
Right. Yeah. They're going to still have to do their NARM required births and prenatals and all that jazz. But
yeah.
I think also though, it helps them to get an apprenticeship. To say, hey, I'm already doing the school thing. So I kind of know a lot of this stuff and you don't have to teach me any of that stuff.
Oh, okay. So they do the that after?
Or concurrently.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Most people are doing at least some schoolwork first.
Okay.
And then go on.
Yeah, I would imagine it's kind of hard to just jump in and not really know anything.
Oh, yeah. And Not every midwife wants to take that on as a preceptor. No, like someone who's totally green, never been to a birth. Yeah, that's a big ask.
Yeah, so. The course is a good idea.
Yeah.
So how do people find your course?
Yeah, you can find out about it through my website, purebirthmidwifery.com, or through the Ancient Art Midwifery website. It's on there. There's information on it there as well under the community birth school sections.
Are there many instructors for this?
Across the country, no, a handful, because it's kind of a new concept. Mine was the first one through AMI, but it's definitely expanding, which is really cool.
Did you come to them and say, I want to do this?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I did. I really, because I had really toyed with starting a school. And even when we had a birth center, that was one of my, like, when they were like, what are your long-term goals? I was like, midwifery school. I want to have a midwifery school. There wasn't time for that though, right? When you have a busy birth center, but you know, I always knew that I wanted to do that. So then I had the opportunity and I was kind of like, oh gosh, writing a curriculum. Ooh, like that sounds like a lot. But then the school, Ancient Art Midwifery, changed hands. Carla Hartley retired. Lori Barklage took over. And Lori Barklage is actually a friend of mine because she lives outside Charlotte. And so I knew her already from the birth world. And so I just approached her and I was like, hey, Lori, so I have this idea. What do you think? She's like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And within a couple months, we had the school up and running. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's
been great. Are there other options through Ancient Art? Like you, what, you didn't do it this way. So can you still do it?
You can still do it the full remote way. Okay. But there are no virtual classes, no live classes mm-hmm. with the online one until 2023.
Right.
I have that. But they'll always still be the equivalent of the giant binder course. Yeah. Right.
I mean, I imagine for obviously many people, including you, it does work.
Yeah. 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 But it is just a lot nicer to have. And the camaraderie, I think, has been really important too. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the midwives that have graduated work together in some capacity,
mm-hmm.
which has been great.
Mm-hmm. Even really if it's awesome. Birth pool, right? The birth
yes.
pool. Yeah. You're making those connections. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. That was fun to learn about the birth pool and your school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned so much today.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad. Yeah. So glad to be on.
Things I did not know. So mm-hmm. it'll be good to share with everybody.
Wonderful.
Any last bit of anything you want to say? Any advice?
No, I've said so many things.
You have. Yeah, that was great. It was all great. I'm excited.
Wonderful.
And, you know, introduce people who maybe are thinking about midwifery and have your course as an option. Or mm-hmm. what I think is cool is the whole RN to CPM, because every mm-hmm. nurse says, I got to do CNM.
Right, but right.
You don't have to.
You don't. You don't have to. You can take all those skills and apply mm-hmm. them to the setting that you want.
Yeah. And I think too, really, that the state you're in plays a factor.
Oh yeah.
You know, some states CNM is the better option because mm-hmm. et cetera, whatever. Some mm-hmm. states it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I know CNMs that are CPMs. You do too. So
yeah,
they're both. I do.
Yeah, exactly. Linda. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, right. You know, I think that it's a big world out there, and you can do what you want and what really speaks to you, regardless of your background.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So. But that was good. I think you have a cool story. So thank you for finally sharing. You've listened to all your friends and came on and shared your story.
I know. That's great.
They'll be so glad.
Yeah. So,
all right. Thank you.
Thanks, Amber.
And that's a wrap for another episode of Journey to Midwifery. You can find the links Christine talked about in the show notes. And remember, you can find me at journeytomidwiferypodcast@gmail.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Journey to Midwifery Podcast. Until next time.